Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and the third chapter, Malachi chapter 3, for the message this morning. I want to read some very familiar verses, but I'm not going to preach on tithing. I'm reading the verses on tithing, but I want to use the 10th verse as my text. And I'll show you in just a moment what I will be speaking on. But we'll begin reading in verse 8 and read down through verse 10. Verse 10 being the text verse. And I want to encourage you to be back in the service tonight. Sunday evening is a great time. We have the early service crowd here, and then you in this service, and we fill up the building, and we have the full choir and orchestra along with the choir and congregational singing, and a couple of special numbers tonight. And so I hope you'll be back in the evening service. I would tell you what I'm preaching on, but I don't remember. But I am preaching on something, I will assure you that. And so I hope you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, let's begin reading in verse 8. These are, as I said, familiar verses. I have preached from these verses several times through the years. But I want to speak to you from the 10th verse. And there's a little phrase there. I'll point that phrase out, which is going to launch us into the message. So beginning in verse 8, this is God speaking to Israel through the prophet Malachi. And God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And God answers, "In tithes and in offerings." In tithes and offerings. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." And here's the phrase that I want to use to preach the message this morning. Notice it says, "And prove me now herewith." Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, if you'll notice that little phrase there in verse 10, prove me now herewith. I read that earlier this week, and it kind of stuck out to me. And here's what I think God is saying. I think God is saying to them, "Will you just give me a chance? Just give me a chance." And so I want to preach to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "Why Not Give God a Chance?" Let's pray together and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together today. And I pray that you will bless in a great way as we open the Bible and look at this little challenge from God. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will use the message and speak to every heart today. Lord, help us to see that we just need to give you a chance in our lives. It is so easy to give everything and everybody else a chance. But Lord, help us to realize that you have a whole Bible here, and you have promised to bless those that bless you. And Lord, you have promised to guide our steps and to save our souls and to give us a life everlasting, an abundant life. And so Lord, help us just to give you a chance to do what you say in your word that you will do. And Lord, I pray that every person will give ears to hear what the Spirit hath to say. And Lord, fill me with your Spirit as I speak. Help me to say what I need to say, and in the way that it needs to be said, so that every heart is encouraged and blessed. And Father, we'll be sure to thank you for what you do for us and give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Malachi was the last of the prophets that God called in to deliver his message in the Old Testament. When God spoke his message to Malachi, which he gladly delivered to the children of Israel, it was a message of reasoning with the people. When you read the book, you cannot help but see that God reasons with the children of Israel through the message that Malachi gave. And through Malachi, God made it clear that he had a real problem with Israel and in the way in which they viewed God and his law. On something like 10 different occasions in this little 4-chapter book, God gives his indictment against the people, and then after the indictment was given, God would almost in a biting way, almost I don't want to use the word sarcastic because that I don't think is the right word, but almost in a biting way, once God gave his indictment, he would rephrase it in a question as if to say, you don't understand how serious this issue is, so let me reword it for you. Let me clarify for you. And there are something like 10 times in this book where God gives the indictment, and then it's almost like the people were shocked by God's indictment against them. It's almost like the people didn't believe that God should be upset with what he was upset about. And God could see their faces, and of course God knew their hearts, and so he would clarify. He would make his indictment, and then he would say something, but you then will say, well, how have we done that? And then God would go on and tell them how they had offended him. He would say something about the way they fought, and then they would stand back almost in shock as if to say, well, no, we're not that way. And God then would ask a question you say, wherein have we behaved that way? And 10 different times, God would use this method in explaining to them how they were guilty of whatever it was he was indicting them with. Now, here in Malachi 3, beginning in verse 8, we have God's indictment against them in the matter of tithing. And, of course, you know, they were shocked by that, and God could see it. So God said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, verse 8. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? So God uses the same method and just gives them no out. He gives them no wiggle room at all. He knows that they have been guilty of robbing God in tithes and blessings. And so he says to them point blank at the end of verse 8, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings, and ye are cursed because of it. He said the whole nation is under the wrath of God because you have been robbing me of what is rightfully mine. And then in verse 10, God gives them an out. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And then he says to them, prove me now herewith. Prove me now herewith. Prove me. Just give me a chance. And I will show you that if you obey me and my word and do what you are supposed to do, what I've ordered you to do in the law, just prove me and I will bless you just as I said that I will. Now, what God is saying to Israel here is, hey, guys, just give me a chance. Now, let me ask you, have you ever met anyone who has told you that they haven't had a chance in life? I mean, it just seemed like everything was against them. I have counseled dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of people through the years who came to see me after they had made a wreck of their lives. And as they sat before me, their life a mess, in trouble many times, in trouble with the law on many occasions, having lost everything on many occasions, with tears running down their faces, they have said to me, almost like it's excusing their behavior, they have said to me, Pastor, I just never had a chance in life. And they lament their life story and tell me about their drunkard dad or their drug-using mother, or they tell me about the poverty from which they came from or the poverty in which they're in right now. Or they would tell me the story about their hardship, like they're the only person in the world who has ever had any hardship. And if I had a dime for every person who said to me after all of these excuses that they just, it wasn't their fault, they just didn't have a chance in life, I'd be a wealthy man. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You talk to people and you have a lot of people tell you that they've never had a chance. But I want to talk to you about someone else this morning who has never had a chance in the lives of innumerable men and women, and that somebody else is God Almighty. You know, people will give everything else and everybody else a chance, but not God. They will seek help from this person or that person or this counselor or that counselor, but they won't stop for even a minute to think about letting the Lord help them. And who better to help you than the one who made you? Amen. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, who better to help you than the one who knows the feeling of your infirmities? And so this morning, I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you if you have ever really given God a chance. Have you given God a chance? Now, of course, we need to ask ourselves, is there really such a thing as giving the omnipotent, eternal God of heaven a chance? I mean, after all, He is God. He has power that is irresistible and irrefutable. And who could even think that he or she might dare stand against Him? But folks, listen, there's something we need to understand about God. There is one thing God is never going to do with you, and that is force you to serve Him. He's just not going to do that. God does not force us to love Him or to trust Him. You see, God created us and He gave us a mind so we could think, and He gave us a will so we could choose, and He wants us to use our minds and use our wills and choose to love Him and choose to serve Him. He will not force you to follow His will for your life. Now, He will lead and guide and bless and spank and do what any father would do for his son. But God is not going to force you to obey Him. Do you remember the letter to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3? And there's a real interesting verse in verse 20 that shows the Lord Jesus standing at the door and knocking to get in your heart. He is standing at the door and knocking. Now let me ask you something, folks. Don't you think that the Lord could kick that door down if He wanted to? Of course He could. He's God. He could knock that door down if he wanted to, but you need to realize that God would never do that, even though he could do that. The point is, we must give him the opportunity to enter. If he comes in, it is going to be because we open the door and allow him entrance. He made us with a free will to make our own decisions about himself, and while he will convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, the Lord Jesus said, he will not override our wills and force us to accept him, to trust him, or to obey him. What kind of fellowship would we have, or would it be, if our wills were overpowered by his omnipotence? That's not what God wants. I want my wife to choose to love me. I don't want her to love me because I stand there with a baseball bat with a mean scowl on my face, shake it at her and say, "Now look, woman, you are going to love me." No, I want her to choose to love me. I want it to be of her volition. And that's the way God has made us. We are in his image. That's why we feel that way about our spouse. We want them to choose to love us, not to be forced into loving us. I mean, what kind of fellowship would it be if our wills were overpowered by God's omnipotence? And that's why we have to open the door of our hearts if the blessed Savior is to enter in. That's why I'm saying to you this morning that we must give God a chance. God said to the children of Israel, "Prove me, give me a chance." And so I want to speak to you this morning on why not give God a chance. There are about three things I want you to see this morning. First of all, we must give God a chance if we want to find out who God is. If we're going to find out who God is, we have got to give God a chance. And I just want to say up front that knowing the God of heaven is the most life-changing, life-fulfilling thing a human being can experience. Do you remember when you got saved? I think about it. I try to think about it every day. I try to remember the hog pen that I came out of. I don't ever want to get over getting saved. And I can remember, I reflect back to it, and I remember how it just seemed like the sun was a little brighter. It just seemed like the birds were singing a little better. It just seemed like I had a little hop in my step. I mean, I look back on it, and I just remember, wow, God saved my soul. It was Mel Trotter who was the guy that started the rescue mission up in Chicago, and Mel Trotter was a drunkard, and he got saved, and he said after he got saved that the first thing he noticed once he got saved and sobered up, he went outside and he noticed that there were trees lining the street, and he had never seen those trees before. And he was amazed at the beauty of those trees. He said that the birds just sounded better. He hadn't heard the birds. You don't see the trees when you're staggering around in a drunken stupor. And he used to give his testimony to the men that came into the mission. And he would talk to them about how wonderful it is to have your sins forgiven and to know the God of heaven. Oh my, what a testimony he had. And you see, if we're going to find out who God is, we've got to give God a chance. We cannot find that out through speculation. We've actually got to just give God a chance. Out in Illinois, where I pastored before I came here, we didn't have a bus ministry when we went there, and we started one while I was pastoring there. And we had one school bus, and then we had a couple of vans that we filled up and brought kids to church in. And one Sunday morning, we had the Sunday school rooms, and then there was a foyer area, and then there was the church building over here. And I was standing in that foyer where they registered folks that came in for Sunday school and got addresses and names, and everybody came funneled through that door. And I was standing there, and the buses pulled in, and all these kids got off the bus, and here they all came running towards the desk to Pastor Sam had told them to get to go to that desk and get registered, and so they all come running in, and there was a little guy there, just, I don't know, 6-7 years old, and he had an older brother and an older sister, and they were all standing there with him, and it was their first time, and Sam came in and said, hey everybody, this is our pastor. And this little guy, without any prompting, without any encouragement, just came across the foyer and put his arms up, and so I just reached down, I picked him up, and he grabbed a hold of me like a leech. And every Sunday morning, when they brought the kids in, that little guy would stand there. If I wasn't there, he would stand there and wait. And when he saw me, he just came running, and I would pick him up, and I would hug on him, and I would talk to him and play tease with him. And every Sunday morning, for week after week after week, that little guy was just all over me. And everybody noticed it. And one Sunday morning, he had a hold of me, and it was time to go to Sunday school, and so some of the others were trying to get him free, and they had to pry him off of me, and they carried him away. And Sam looked at me and said, "Pastor, you should see the home that little guy comes from. You should see his home. What a mess," he said. He said, "He comes loving on you because you love him back." And Sam said his daddy will never know the riches of love, the wealth of love that is in that little boy, because he never gives the boy the chance to love him. And preacher, that's why he loves on you. You give him the chance to love you back. If we want to find out who God is, folks, we have got to give God a chance. You want to know how loving our Heavenly Father is? You just give him a chance and he'll show you how loving he is. You want to see how good he is? You just give God a chance. And I promise you, God will show you how good he is. A mother or a father has to give their child a chance. I mean, if we want to find out who God is, we've got to give God a chance. A farmer has to sow seed in the ground if he hopes to find harvest in the seed. My brother's wife, my sister-in-law, was given as a gift back in middle December, one of those Christmas flowers. You've seen them in the store. I don't know, it's a hyacinth or something like that. It's a box, and it has this seed inside the box. And you take that seed and you put it in a pot and put the dirt on top of it and water it and set it out. And right in the middle of winter, around Christmas time, that thing just all of a sudden starts shooting up. And by the time we got there at the end of the first week of January to their house just a couple of months ago, that thing had grown about 3 foot. And it had a beautiful flower on the end of it. And in just a few weeks' time, boom, there it is. Here's this beautiful plant with flowers hanging off of it. Now, folks, it would never have revealed its hidden beauty if she had not given it a chance by planting it and watering it in that pot. And I'm just saying, we cannot sit around and speculate about who God is and what God can do for us. We cannot sit around and speculate about His love and His goodness. We need to give God a chance. And when we do, we will quickly see the goodness of God. Do you remember that the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I wonder if there might be someone sitting right here this morning who is maybe a little curious about God and who God is. Maybe God has been working on you. Maybe God has been doing something in your life and knocking on the door of your heart. And that's why you've come to church this morning. The truth is, you're rather surprised that you're here. I mean, you know, you walked in, you sat down, you looked around and you said, "Wow, I'm actually in church. I can't believe it." Well, my friend, listen, you are here. I mean, could it be that the Lord Jesus is standing outside the door of your heart and He is knocking and is asking to be invited in? Maybe what you have heard about God and how God can help you has led you to come and investigate for yourself. If that's the case, dear friend, let me encourage you to just look around you. This room is full of people who were once just like you. They were wandering themselves. We were all one time in a mess. We all at one time needed a friend. We were just like you. We needed a Savior. We needed someone and something to help us get things in order in our lives. And just like you, God worked on our hearts and led us to come and sit under the sound of God's Word being preached. And when we heard the Word of God, we gave God a chance. And I don't know, I think I can testify for everybody in here. When we did give God a chance, we found out that God is who He says He is, and we were glad we gave Him a chance. Can I get an amen right there? Sure, we've all felt that. So my question to you this morning, dear friend, is this. Why don't you give God a chance? You just might find out who He is. And when you find out who He is, I guarantee you, you're going to like who He is. Amen. There's a second thing I call to your attention. We must give God a chance if we want to find out what God can do for us. If we want to find out what God can do for us, we got to give God a chance. I have already alluded to all the things that God can do for us, but the truth is, you'll never find that out for yourself unless you open the door of your heart and give God a chance to show you Himself. Let me illustrate this from the life of the Apostle Peter. You know, when we first meet the Apostle Peter in the Bible, in the New Testament, he is beside the Sea of Galilee. He is an uneducated man who chose as a career the only thing he knew anything about, and that's because his father taught it to him, and that was fishing. I mean, he chose the only thing he knew, which was fishing, in that beautiful sea that lay right out in front of his doorstep. But when we get to the end of his life and we see him at the end in Scripture, everything is different. He is one of the greatest characters in all of the New Testament when you get to the end of his life. You see, folks, Peter found out what the Lord could do for him. He left his nets and he followed the Lord Jesus. And in that trust and in that obedience, he found out how Jesus could take an uneducated fisherman and give him the keys to unlock the door of the gospel, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. One would think that John or James would have been chosen to preach the message on the day of Pentecost. But no, it was Peter who was chosen to preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost. I'm saying he gave the Lord a chance and the Lord showed him what he could do with his life. Man, I'll never forget sitting in church that Sunday night. And God had been dealing with me about going into the ministry. I did not want to go into the ministry. I did not want to be a preacher. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I had already been accepted at West Virginia University in the pre-med program. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a surgeon. That's what I wanted to be. And I'd made up my mind, I'm going to go to medical school. And then God started dealing with me about going into the ministry. I said, no. I did not want to do it. And the more I said no, the more God told me yes. And I fought that for well over a month. It was well over a month before I surrendered. And God almost, God spanked me. Oh my goodness. It was just a whooping right after, one right after another. And I remember standing there during the invitation on that Sunday night and arguing with God. I argued with the Lord. Lord, I can't go down there. All these people will laugh if I tell them that I've been called into the ministry. I'm not going to do this. And I grabbed a hold of the back of that pew and I held on. But the Lord wouldn't let up. And I said, Lord, if I go down there, they're going to laugh at you and me both. They're going to laugh at you for calling me, and they're going to laugh at me for saying that you called me. I can't do this. I cannot stand up in front of a bunch of people and preach. I can't do it. It's just not who is not in me. But finally, I surrendered. And I walked down that aisle, and I said to the pastor, God's called me to preach. Now, he was real encouraging. He took a step back when I said that, looked at me and said, are you sure? Nobody believed it. Are you sure? That will really build your confidence. You know that? He turned around to the people and said, folks, before I tell you why Norris has come forward, I want you to know that God is a miracle-working God. What a blessing. But you see, when you do what God wants you to do, all of a sudden you find out what God can do for you. Amen. I would never, going back in my mind all those years ago, standing in front of that church in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that God would allow me to be the pastor of this great church. Never. It's amazing what God can do when you say yes. Let me illustrate this again with the prodigal son. I dare say the far country was filled with young, aspiring prodigals who went there hoping to find their fortune and to sow their wild oats. But none of them had the courage to go home when things didn't work out. No doubt all of them had fathers who sat on the porch of the old home place and just hoped and wished and prayed that they would see their son come dragging home one day. But none of them gave their old daddies a chance to prove their love, except for this one in Luke 15. Oh, he took a risk going home and he knew it. You read the passage and you will see he was worried about whether the father would forgive him and whether he would be accepted. You remember the story. But he gave his daddy a chance. And oh, how well it turned out. You give your heavenly father a chance and you'll see how good it'll all turn out. But you see, we don't want to do that. We don't want to give God a chance. I don't know why that is, when God only has our best in mind. That young man saw what love could do. He saw what his daddy could do for him when the biggest party that was ever held on that property took place that night. Folks, if you want to find out what God can do, you've got to give God a chance. And that leads me to the third thing I want to say. I'm going to use God's method in Malachi. You might be sitting here this morning and saying, well, Pastor, how do I give God a chance? And I answer that with one simple thing. You have to trust Him.
Amen.
You have to trust Him. That's all He's asking for. You see, trusting is just giving God a chance. Back in January, 7th of January, I had my gallbladder out. And as I was sitting there laying there in bed waiting on them to come in, the anesthesiologist and the doctor came in. One sat on one side of me and the other sat on the other side of me. And the anesthesiologist started speaking first, and he said, there are about 4 or 5 things that could go wrong. And I thought, well, this is great. And so I was listening intently with all the things that could go wrong. And he said, this could happen, and this could happen, and there's possibility that this could happen, and it's probable that this will happen. And then he said, and there's one more thing. He said, this very rarely happens. He said, as a matter of fact, it's never happened to me. But statistically, this could happen. It's like one in, and he gave this astronomical number in the millions. But he said it could happen. That is, we could not get you awake. And I just sat there and I thought, wow. And before he even finished his sentence, the doctor started. And he said, well, so far as my part goes, this could happen and this could happen. And I said, now, you do remember that we are operating on my gallbladder, right? I mean, just to make sure that you understand, I don't want anything else missing in there. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I got that bold print right here, gallbladder. That's what we're working on. We're working on the gallbladder. And when they finished telling me all the things that could go wrong, I looked at that doctor and I said, wait a minute. I said, I was just in your office 3 weeks ago. You didn't tell me any of this stuff when I was in your office. And he smiled and he said, well, Pastor, he said, if I'd have told you all this stuff that could go wrong, you wouldn't have showed up today. And he reached over and put his hand on my knee as he stood up. And he squeezed my knee and he looked at me and he said, Pastor, trust me. Just trust me. And right there at that moment, I put my life in that man's hands. You see, folks, we trust others more than we realize. If I didn't trust that guy, I would have pulled that thing out of the back of my hand and I'd have got my clothes on and got out of there. And that did cross my mind. But I trusted those guys with my life. And that's all God's asking you to do. Just trust Him. You're never going to find out who He is and what He can do until you just trust Him. You know, when you fly on a plane, the airlines tells you that they will leave at a certain time and that you will land at a certain time. Now, they don't always deliver, but most of the time they do. But the airline company gets a chance by being trusted. You with me on that? Trust the doctor and you give him a chance. Trust the airlines, and the airlines gets a chance. And it is much the same way in which we trust God. We are giving Him the chance that He is longing for to save our souls from hell, to heal us. Just trust Him. You got a physical condition? Just trust Him. He said, if there be any sick among you, let them pray. Why don't you just take it to God and pray and trust the Lord? We trust Him to deliver us through a trial. We trust Him to forgive our sins. I mean, we just trust in the Lord. That's what we do. And when we do, we're giving God a chance. We also give Him a chance by obeying Him. You trust Him and then you obey Him. I can't help but think of those 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord Jesus. What a strange request from Jesus for them to go to the priest to show themselves. Lord, heal us. Heal us. All 10 of them eaten up with leprosy. Heal us. And the Lord Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. They were lepers. They were rejected and scorned from everybody, and especially those priests. It was those priests who had ordered them to go to the leper colony to get isolated from the people. And yet one of the sweetest things in the Bible is found in that story. The words that follow show us what we should emulate in our lives. When Jesus said, go show yourselves, it says, and it came to pass as they went, they were healed. Wow. When they obeyed the word of the Lord, they got what they were asking for. If they had not obeyed the word of the Lord, they would have died a horrible, excruciating death, the death of a leper. Had they stood there and reasoned with Jesus, or rationalized with Jesus, or argued with Jesus, or doubted the word of the Lord Jesus, had they looked at all of their past rejection that they had received, they would have never been cleansed. But the Lord Jesus simply said, go show yourselves to the priest. And they just nodded their heads. And as they went, they were healed. They obeyed. As hard as it was, they obeyed. I mean, as hard as it was. And in their obedience, they gave the Lord Jesus a chance. And folks, that's all I'm asking you to do this morning. You're sitting here today and you don't know for sure you're saved. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know, if I died, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. All I'm asking you to do is give God a chance. I know what the Lord can do. You say, well, how do you know that? Because He did it for me. He saved me. And if He saved me, I know He can save you. And all I'm asking you to do is give God a chance. You're sitting here, you say, well, you know, I'm just not 100% sure. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart confession is made unto salvation, or with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you don't know that should something happen to you, you'd go to heaven, why don't you give God a chance? You can know. I know I'm going to heaven when I die based on the Bible. If you know that, say amen.
Amen.
See, we all know that. Maybe you don't. All I'm asking you to do is give God a chance. You're sitting here right now and you're saying, I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, let me tell you something, dear friend. You will never, never be able to say to God, I didn't have a chance. I mean, let's suppose that you never get saved and you leave this world unsaved, lost. And one day you're brought before God at the great white throne judgment. And God looks down at you and says, you were in the Church of the Open Door on February 17th, 2013. And Pastor preached out of the book of Malachi, and he preached a message entitled, why don't you give God a chance? You had your chance to be saved right there. Why didn't you get? I never had a chance. Yes, you did. You had your chance. And you said no. Depart from me. I never knew you. You will never be able to say to God, I never had a chance. because you've been given that chance this morning. You're here today and saved, and you know you're saved. You're not going to be able to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and say to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, I'm sorry, I just never had a chance to serve you." Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I don't know, but I could just imagine, he's not going to need it, but I could imagine the Lord could just take our bulletin and thumb through it and say, "Wait a minute, you went to a church open door. Well, right there was visitation, you didn't do that. Right there was reformers, you didn't do that. There was the choir, you didn't do that. Right there is Sunday school, you didn't do that. Right there is the men's prayer group, you didn't do that. Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you serve me?" And you're not going to be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I didn't do anything for you. I just didn't have a chance." That's not going to work. You got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in this ministry to do something for God. And I think the time is short. If you're going to do something, you best get with it. Amen. You can't say, "I've never had a chance in life." Because simple truth of the matter is, I'm giving you a chance right here this morning to give God a chance. Would you give God a chance? Some of you need to join this church and get busy. I mean, you say, "I can't believe you said that." Well, I'm just, I've been at this a while. I know what joining the church and getting busy will do for you. I've seen it. It'll make a difference in your life. Some of y'all need to quit singing in the choir out there and start singing in the choir up here. Some of you all need to get down in that soul winners club and learn how to win your loved ones to Jesus. I mean, it's just time to give God a chance. And so my question this morning is this: why not? Why not just give God a chance? I think you'll be glad you did. Amen. You'll find out who God is, and you'll find out what God can do if you'll just give Him a chance. Just trust Him and obey. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around, please. How many folks will say this morning, "Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven and I know it." Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your Savior? You say, "Pastor, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know it. I know it. There's no doubt about it." Amen. Good. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That was just about everybody. There are a few hands that weren't raised. Dear friend, listen. Won't you give God a chance? I mean, you've tried this and you've tried that. You've tried everything under the sun. Won't you give God a chance to help you? You've tried church, you've tried doing good, reformation, turning over a new leaf. Good grief. None of it's ever worked, has it? Won't you try God? Won't you let the Lord Jesus save you? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I just don't know for sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my soul. I need to give God a chance. I need to let God do something for me. But preacher, I want you to pray for me. I need the Lord. Pray for me." I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now and ask you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand right now and let me pray for you and ask God to help you? Pastor, pray for me. I need to give God a chance. Anybody like that this morning? You couldn't raise your hand with everybody else a moment ago, but you'll raise it right now and say, "Pray for me, preacher." Yes, God bless you. You may put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I need you to pray for me. All right, how many Christians here? You're saved. You know that you're saved. But you'll say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. God's touching my heart this morning. I need to give God a chance in my Christian life. Pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand, Christian? Let me pray for you all over this building. Raise your hand. Yes, God bless you. Many hands. God bless you, folks. Good, 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 good. All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will meet the needs of our lives. Lord, there are folks that are not sure they're saved. May today be the day of salvation. I pray that they'll come in just a moment. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. And then, Father, I pray for these Christians that you'll stir the hearts of your people. But Lord, help us to prove you. Help us to just give you a chance. I know who you are and I know what you can do. You've done it in my life. You've proven yourself to me. But Lord, I feel so inadequate in expressing so that folks will see the urgency of them trusting you and in them giving you a chance. So Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will do what I cannot do with language. And Lord, that speak to the heart. And so in a moment, Lord, as we stand and sing, I pray that unsaved people will come and give you a chance. And I pray that Christians will come and give you a chance. Oh Lord, help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 325. 325 in your books. 325. Let's all take a hymnal and stand together and sing this song of invitation. And as we sing this, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and dealt with your heart, I want to invite you to come. You're among friends and people that love you and care about you. We want to help you. We want to help you. If you're not saved, please come. It just takes 5 or 6 minutes of your time to open the Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. Be the greatest decision you ever made in your life. And I'm asking you, would you give God a chance? Christian, give God a chance. Let's sing it. You come as we sing. On the first, here we go.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Sing the second verse, please.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may put your books away. Folks are being dealt with here, so if you just be patient for a moment, we'll be dismissed shortly. All right, folks, would you look this way, please? This young man over here is John Schweitzer, and he is coming today to join the fellowship of our church. And it says here he was saved 8 years ago. And John, you know for sure you're saved? Yes. Have you been baptized by immersion? Okay, well then we'll have to get you baptized. All right, so he's joining our church on baptism. And so if you welcome him into the fellowship upon his baptism, signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Me as well. So John, God bless you. And yeah, I love to watch these young Christians growing in the Lord. And it's just exciting to see. So praise the Lord for that. So you pray for John and be sure and welcome him into the fellowship. All right. All right. Well, hey, listen.